This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
It did sound as if it was from the 1940s. Like, that easily could have been a George Mikan highlight.
We treated it the way it needed to be treated.
Exactly.
Can't slide anything past this show.
We are nerds, because every single person on this show had the same reaction. When I cut that in screening earlier, I turned to Eric, and I'm going to use a radio term that three people in the world, all three of you, will get. I said, was that on a coupler? Because that's what it sounded like. And a coupler used to be when you took a phone and hooked a phone up to a microphone through a splitter, and you literally did a game through a telephone.
See, I did not know that. Shockingly, if anyone can believe this, I know almost nothing about this industry. I have no formal training. I was not brought up on the side where I learned how to cut audio or produce or do anything like that. Someone heard me doing radio hits and gave me a job on a morning show in San Francisco. That's how it worked for me. When I'm in the TV department, same thing. I have no idea what any of the terminology is. Everyone looks at me like I'm an idiot, but no one's ever tried to teach me, even though I've asked. So I have given up. I don't know how to speak any of the language of anything that I do for a living.
Grinder. That's what you are.
It's something.
Grinder.
It is something. They're like,
took
all
that
right,
hard road up, didn't you?
We're coming back from, we're going to come back from break. There's going to be the sod element. Then we're going to go to this. Then they're going to throw the blinder. Then you're going to bump. I'm like, first of all, I don't know anything you just said. You're going to have to dumb all that down for me if you want me to be able to host this little show you've got here.
That was so disheartening to hear that you've done nothing in paying any dues.
No. That's jumping to conclusions. I have worked my ass off. I just haven't worked on that side of the equation. That I have not learned.
Ev, it's always great to hear people have success when they've had it all handed it to them. Isn't it really inspiring for those of us who have really tried to plot our way through this thing and maybe get somewhere?
Some might argue that the route you took leading to the route I took, why'd you waste so much time?
That's an excellent point.
And I would say,
and don't think for a moment that I haven't thought that way.
I might have wasted time. You wasted money going to law school.
Yeah. I mean, I just got done paying that off not too long ago. And I'm not practicing any of that right now.
It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. So here's something that is a little bit intriguing. And as usual, it involves the Dallas Cowboys. There are some reports out there regarding Jerry Jones and Dak Prescott, and maybe an understanding that they have about working toward the future. That the Cowboys haven't made any offers, and this is the case even though he is in a contract year. And Jerry Jones, just a little while ago, said, we are where we are, locked and loaded for this year. No indication at the moment that any sort of a contract between Dak and the Cowboys is coming.
This is going to be a fun story.
I tell you. I have thought this for the last couple of weeks, and when I see this, it makes me think it even more. You could hear Mike McCarthy talk about Dak all you want. Why not? Just to refresh our memories for a moment. Hear him talk about his quarterback and his development earlier today.
I think if you look at Dak's, you know, development or, you know, his production as a quarterback, you know, it clearly improved. What he was asked to do, his job responsibility of what he was asked to do increased. But, you know, his game plan responsibility in some areas went down, but went up in others. So, you know, I think clearly being in year two of that, I think it's only natural to expect, you know, more improvement.
Okay, was that weird? Did that sound weird?
A little bit.
Okay.
I only caught some of it.
It wasn't just me.
I got to be honest. I only caught some of it. I was looking something up. But in my defense, it is something for you that does pertain to what we are talking about.
Okay, that's fine.
I just can't let it out of the bag just yet.
That's fine. I don't worry about your lack of attention span. That's totally good. Anyway, you can talk about Dak and his development on all that stuff and being locked and loaded for this year all you want. Joe, rounds two, rounds three, do not be shocked when the Cowboys draft a quarterback. You watch This is going to happen day two. I can absolutely see it happening. The Cowboys found Dak in the fourth round the last time. They are basically going to be sending him the message that we found you in the fourth round the last time, and we paid you reluctantly last time, but we are not going to do that again unless you deliver this season. And to me, that is a wholly stupid way to approach this situation.
Okay. Now, what if they use their first round pick on a quarterback? Pick number 24. Before you answer, this is what I was looking up. That pays 100-1. 100-1 at ESPN bet that the first selection of the Cowboys, whoever the first pick is, plays the quarterback position.
Well, you're not helping me because I can't bet that because I'll be covering the draft.
Yeah, no, I mean, no, none
I mean,
of us
for
can
the
bet
audience,
it.
Sure,
but
who cares about them? I'm talking about me.
Yeah, well, okay. But again, now that we're through all that, what do you think? Could they do it at 24? Say Penix is sitting there at 24.
Well, let's put it this way. If you have those other guys go off the board, if Bo Nix goes off the board and McCarthy and the other three are all off the board, would I rule it out? I would not.
Would you bet it if you could? 100-1?
Yes, I would. Why not? I mean, I wouldn't. I don't know that I would go heavy. I don't even think you could go heavy. But
well, this isn't a, you know, a Toronto Raptor checking out of the game 4 minutes in sort of situation. This is we're going to play a hunch here sort of situation.
Would I throw $25 on it? $50 on it? I would.
All right.
Absolutely.
This situation reeks of Jerry Jones and his hubris and why we all love him so much.
Just remember how much he wanted to take Johnny Manziel in the worst way.
Yeah. Like he's sitting here of the belief saying, look, we don't need to do this now. We are going to put you to the test. Go out there and deliver for us. And if you do, you'll get the contract. He's not even worried about the idea of Dak playing so well and the Cowboys saying, you know what? He's our guy. You did it, Dak. Here's the big contract. And Dak saying, you know what? Here's the middle. You know what? I didn't want to go that far. Here's the double bird. I'm going elsewhere. Jerry doesn't even consider the idea that Prescott could play really well, deliver everything Jerry wants, and then Prescott could leave because he's a free agent after the year. In his mind, there's no greater privilege on earth than playing football for the Dallas Cowboys. Think about that for a second. The option hasn't even crossed his mind that Dak could walk after the year. Say Dak goes out and wins the Super Bowl this year, and then he walks. I don't think Jerry's even considered that notion because he's of the belief that there's no franchise that's even close to as prestigious as his beloved Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, absolutely. Canty told the story of the first time that he met Jerry Jones. It was a pre-draft visit. And, of course, Canty was drafted by the Dallas Cowboys in the fourth round. And he says he sat down with Jerry Jones, and Jerry said, Chris, I'm going to tell you one thing. It's good to be a Dallas Cowboy. And I don't doubt that it is. If you're in that situation and you're Dak at the end of the year, going somewhere else versus playing for Jerry again, I think it would just matter how much you had been ticked off and if there would be any kind of difference in money. That's it. But it is amazing. It is amazing that that would be the case. And how much of a mess. I was about to say something else, but I didn't. How much of a complete mess would that be in training camp if the Cowboys took a quarterback in the first round?
Oh, that would be wonderful. Well, a quarterback in any round. To your point.
First two days.
If
they took one in the fifth round, no big deal.
If you go out and take a quarterback, that is all everyone's talking about all offseason building up to it. At what point could we see Michael Penix play? Is Michael Penix competing for the starting job? Dak, are you worried about Michael Penix? Dak struggles a little bit in week one, but Dallas wins. Hey, have you thought about giving the keys to Michael Penix? Well, if Dak's not going to be here next year, is Michael Penix going to be the guy? And if he's going to be the guy, don't you want to get him in sooner? Question after question after question for McCarthy and Dak and that entire locker room to deal with, while also putting, you know, in this scenario, Michael Penix in the spotlight. It doesn't work for anyone. It doesn't work for anyone. That's what makes it so juicy.
I want to take a quick trip to the sports book at Fortinball Palace.
Yeah.
If you were to open up odds on the Cowboys taking a quarterback the first 2 days of the draft, where would you put that?
So what do they have, two total picks?
In the first three rounds?
Yeah, I think I had brought this up. They have 24, 56, and 87.
Okay.
So the first 2 days picks. Are one and two, or is round three?
No. One, two, and three.
So the first three rounds are the first 2 days.
Right. First day is round one. Second day is rounds two and three.
I would say, I think I would make that somewhere around a coin flip, like minus 110 both ways. And
really?
I wonder how bad I would get hit there.
Wow.
Because I don't think you use 24 on it. You want to go out and get yourself another playmaker who can come in and contribute. But between 56 and 87, if Dallas is operating this way, they are operating of the mindset that he could be gone next year. What are you going to do? How are you going to solve that problem with no one on the roster? Are you going to go out and get someone in free agency? That would be a disaster. I don't know if there's a Cousins next year.
Two wins away from the first Final Four in one school's history. Their coach joins us next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, including the iHeartRadio app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Down. Kuznarts not even going to bother shooting the basketball, and we are at all zeros. It took double overtime to get it done, but for the third time in the last 4 years, the Creighton Blue Jays have advanced past the first weekend. They beat Oregon 86-73 in a double overtime epic. They are headed to Motown in the Midwest region.
Westwood One, the NCAA Radio Network. The Blue Jays there once again out of the Big East. Their head coach is Greg McDermott, and he joins us right now. Coach, it's Chris Carlin and Joe Fortenbaugh here on ESPN Radio. Congratulations. Had to feel great to get out of to get to another Sweet 16 this year. Just take me through this experience and getting your team here once again.
Well, thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. And, you know, we had a great stay in Pittsburgh. We, you know, were able to kind of outlast a very good Akron team, after trying to figure things out at halftime. They played really well that first half. And I thought defensively we were able to slow them down a little bit and get out and transition ourselves and create some separation. And then, you know, I said it after the game, that Oregon game was an epic game. There's a lot of, it looked pretty bleak for a second for us, and then it looked like we had it won in the overtime, and then Cousinard hits a big shot to send it to second overtime. Just a great basketball game, and really what this time of year is all about.
In the moments like that, Coach, what are you telling your team? These are young guys, and you're trying to keep them calm, but I mean, we're talking about the biggest moment of some of their lives.
Yeah, I mean, fortunately for me, I don't have a lot of young guys. The guys that are out there have played a lot of basketball, and you know, Trey Alexander's been in our program 3 years, and Kalkbrenner 4 years, and Baylor Shireman, this is his fifth year of college basketball, and, you know, his second year with us. And then, you know, Stephen Ashworth, although he's new to our program coming from Utah State, you know, he played in an NCAA tournament last year at Utah State. So I have guys that have been there. They've done it. We've been in a lot of close games this year in the Big East. And I think the Big East has really done a adequate job and then some of preparing, you know, ourselves, Marquette, and UConn for really everything that we're going to see in the NCAA tournament. I think we're battle-tested and ready, and that certainly helps when you get in those close games and those moments.
Greg McDermott, head coach at Creighton, is with us. They will face Tennessee in the Sweet 16 this week. When people talk about your team, there's always a lot of discussion around the offense, but your defense has been great through the first couple of games of this tournament. What is the key to playing great defense for your team?
Yeah, I mean, I think it starts with Ryan Kalkbrenner and his ability to protect the rim. And, you know, there's his block shot numbers, you know, speak for themselves. He's, you know, he's the first player since Benoit Benjamin in 1985 to have 100 blocks in a season in a Creighton uniform. But, you know, the stat sheet doesn't account for the shots that he changes when guys try to take him in the lane, and then even more so the shots that people don't take because he's there, that they're accustomed to being able to get some of those easy baskets in the paint, and they don't get them against us because of Ryan. But, you know, Trey Alexander's obviously a terrific defender. Baylor Shireman's really grown in his defense. Stephen Ashworth has made a great jump during the season in our defensive system. So our guys are very connected on that end. While we, you know, we don't force a lot of turnovers, that's not who we are. But, you know, we're also first in the country in not fouling. And, you know, that looms large. And I think in these games, in the NCAA tournament where you're, you know, teams that are accustomed to getting a bunch of points at the free throw line haven't been able to do that against us.
Coach, you know, you mentioned just a few moments ago about the Big East and being battle tested coming out of there. You know, you're kind of used to playing in these big games, getting you ready for the tournament. A lot of talk about how the Big East only got three teams into the dance, yet all three of you are perfect 2-0, 6-0 for the conference. You know, what does that message send to the committee, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I was disappointed, I think, like the rest of the coaches in our league, that we weren't you know, more well represented in the NCAA tournament. I think, you know, certainly Seton Hall, Providence, St. John's, you know, were very deserving. You know, Villanova was right there, right till the end of the season, with some of the wins that, you know, they had in the non-conference portion of the schedule, and they came into our place and won on our floor. So, you know, we beat up on each other a lot, especially the, you know, teams really 2 and 3 all the way till teams 9. We really beat up on each other. And but, you know, a team like Seton Hall that goes 13-7 in the Big East that has wins over UConn and Marquette, I just don't know how a team like that gets left out. And, you know, I understand the committee's got a very difficult job, and it was kind of an unprecedented year with some of the upsets and some of the bid stealers that came into play the last few days before the selection Sunday. I know that makes it for a difficult job, but, you know, our league is, you know, we were very good in the NCAA. We had three teams in the Sweet 16 last year as well. So, you know, sooner or later, I know you have to take every year on its own, but you would think at some point the historical perspective would weigh in a little bit more than it does.
It's Greg McDermott, head coach of the Creighton Blue Jays. They are taking on Tennessee in the Sweet 16. You got Dalton Knecht, speaking of Tennessee. He's only the conference player of the year, and he's off to a good start. How do you contain this guy?
You know, I don't know that you contain him. I think he has, you know, he can score at all three levels extremely well. You have to find him in transition. Obviously, he's terrific there. But, you know, his ability to get to the rim and make plays at the rim and be effective in the mid-range, he's really a complete player. So, you know, we have to stay attached to him as much as we can. We have to make sure we find him in transition and at least try to eliminate the easy ones, understanding that he's going to make some shots. That's just who he is. He's an elite shot maker. You know, their team is more than Dalton Knecht. They've got a, you know, a really good cast around him.
your top four scorers account for about 80% of your points. Some could see that as a little top heavy. Others could see that as a delicate balance there. Does that concern you at all at this point in the tournament, considering some of the defenses you'll face?
Yeah, last time I checked, you can only play five guys at a time. So I don't know that that matters a whole lot. And I think it matters less than the NCAA tournament. I mean, those timeouts, guys, are so long, you know, and we don't foul a lot. So oftentimes, you know, that first timeout, I think in the two games didn't come till around 14 minutes. And then 2 minutes later, you get to sit around for another 3 minutes. So, you know, I have to stand out there and talk to my staff and act like we're talking about something important. And the reality of it is I just don't have anything else left to say to the team. So I have to act like I'm doing something. But, you know, it really helps us. Baylor Shireman, Trey Alexander played all 50 minutes against Oregon. I think Kalkbrenner got 32 seconds of a break. So we've rode those guys really hard this year. And the fact that we did prepare them for a situation like Oregon in a double overtime game, I think we clearly look like the fresher team in the overtime period, even though we've had guys play a bunch of minutes.
Greg, listen. Dan Hurley the other day made reference to the fact that there is a text chain among Big East coaches when he was talking about, you know, who got in, who didn't get out, who didn't, and how bummed out people were by it. I that's fine. I want to know on the text chain, I think a lot of people are driven nuts by those group texts. Who is the worst on that group text? Give me the right answer. Give me the true answer. Don't give me the coach's answer. Who is the guy of you're looking at the phone like, geez, again, Patino? Enough.
You know, what's interesting is, you know, for a league of 11 teams, everybody chimes in, which is kind of cool. And, you know, we all shared our disappointment when we didn't get more teams in. And then, you know, Chris Holtman, I think, was announced a day or two after. And obviously we welcome Chris back to the conference. He did a terrific job at Butler, and it's awesome to have him back at DePaul. But, you know, we're a basketball-centric league. And, you know, most leagues in the country, football drives the bus. In our league, it's basketball. So, you know, while we want to beat each other's brains in January, February, and early March, you know, we really support each other in the non-conference portion of the schedule, and especially when we get to tournament time. But, you know, if I had to, you know, if there's an outlier in the group like that I like to make fun of, I'll always start and end with Ed Cooley.
Is he the guy that just group texts entirely too much because every group text has one?
No, we really don't have one of those guys, to be honest. It's been a pretty good group in that regard. You know, we got a lot of old guys.
Some guys who can't figure out how to text, in other words.
And we just learned to really text 4 or 5 years ago, so we're just trying to figure it out.
Hey, listen, Coach, we appreciate it. Best of luck this week against Tennessee. Thanks for popping on. And listen, you go to the Final Four. Hopefully we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Coach.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
That's Greg McDermott, Creighton head coach. It's got to be Patino, right? He's got to be the worst group texter there.
You'd figure. Evan had a good point. How many are on iPhones and how many are green bubbles?
How many flip phones?
Yeah, you got a whole lot going on there.
Trying to see Patino, like, working a flip phone there, you know? ABC on number 2. Okay.
Tap, 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 A. Tap, 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 B. Tap, 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 M.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. You heard the highlight earlier, courtesy of Westwood One on the NCAA Radio Network. We've got the Sweet 16 starting on Thursday. Also, it's baseball's opening day, and the NBA is in full swing, and Dear God, football is back. It's all there. We'll explain next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A new era of spring football kicks off. United Football League.
Here we go.
These players are going to play hard-nosed, intense football, passionate football.
Rule changes, innovation.
Every possession. 1, 2, 3.
Every play matters.
They're going to ball out.
Touchdown. Wow.
Every moment is a moment for greatness.
UFL kickoff weekend. The D.C. Defenders at San Antonio Brahmas at noon Eastern. And the Memphis Showboats at Houston Roughnecks at 3. Sunday on ESPN.
It all starts this weekend with the UFL. It has been the merger between the XFL and the USFL, and it gets you the best of both worlds, and it kicks off Saturday. The Arlington Renegades hosting the Birmingham Stallions, 1 p.m. Eastern time. That game is on Fox. The head coach of the Arlington Renegades is Bob Stoops, of course. He of the 2000 national champion Oklahoma Sooners, a two-time Coach of the Year. He joins us right now. Coach, it's Chris Carlin along with Joe Fortenbaugh on ESPN Radio. We appreciate the time. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Chris. Good to be with you and Joe.
Well, we appreciate it very much. And first things first, tell me about what that experience was like last year, how much you have enjoyed coaching in this league and coming off a championship as well.
Yeah, I loved it. Obviously, I'm back doing it again. I really enjoyed working with the players this age. There's no babysitting. I mean, these guys have wives and children and just grown men. It's all football to me, meaning I don't have to leave the field and call Johnny's parents because Johnny won't go to class or won't go to study hall. I don't have recruiting meetings. I don't have compliance meetings, recruiting meetings, or whatever. It's just football with a bunch of guys that are older that love football, and they pick it up so quickly and easily because they've all played so much football. So it's been a real joy.
Has this given you an opportunity to try new things from a coaching perspective? Obviously, when you're at a place like Oklahoma, you're going to have a style. You understand the opposition in the Big 12 and beyond. But here, it's a different rule set, different players, different concept entirely. So have you experimented with things as a head coach?
Not really much. A lot of fundamentals in coaching or things I believe in stick with this game or any game, and college game, pro game, high school game. There's certain parts of this game that don't change or that win at every level, and those are important to me. And then, but you always need to play to your players, to their strengths, avoid weaknesses. And that's always a little bit different. You know, you can't always gauge that. But other than that, most parts of the game are pretty standard to me.
It's a familiar voice of Bob Stoops. He is the coach of the Arlington Renegades in the UFL. It's the new league that has merged between the XFL, where the Renegades were last year, and the USFL. You know, we've seen it a few times now. But when you look at how this merger came together, it looks like it is positioned to be the most successful spring league that we have seen. What has your belief in spring football?
Yeah, I would say definitely you're correct there. If you think about it, a year ago, there were two different leagues. So that, you know, so that's each league then, you know, when you just say, think of the last 10 players cut from every NFL football team. As you guys know, those are really good football players. But if they're spread throughout 16 teams, the talent level isn't quite as good as it is with 8. The bottom line, we cut 4 teams from each league, and we got to draft the best players from each of those teams. So that tells you right there the talent level's completely different. It's really stronger, better. People are going to notice it. And I know our team is much stronger overall than it was a year ago and more complete. And I know that's not just us. I know every team is going to look that way. So I think, and now we're not competing two different leagues playing at the same time or mostly at the same time. You got huge networks when you look at Fox, ESPN, and ABC all together on it. That also is gonna help everything. So all of it really leads to, I believe, something that's going to be really positive.
You were doing some radio interviews earlier this week where you talked about the current state of college football, the movement, NIL, all that stuff, and you called for a college football commissioner. We were curious, do you have anyone in mind as to who would be best to fill that role?
Anybody but me. But no, I have no one in mind. But, you know, my only point in saying any of that was, let's face it, it's a pro model now. Well, if it's a pro model, let's quit acting like it isn't and quit acting like the NCAA is controlling all of it when that isn't happening. And, you know, so the NFL has rules, contracts, all that kind of, you know, they have governance, you know, so to me, it needs to move that way, so one way in some shape or form.
You know, Bob, we saw Nick Saban step away. And part of his decision playing into it was how his team reacted after losing and everything that is going into it right now. Could you coach in college the way things are right now? And will we see more coaches try to step away from college and get themselves more toward the NFL?
Of course I could. Just as, of course, Coach Saban could if he wanted to. In the end, you have to adapt. You learn to adapt, and you play by the set of rules you're given every year. So if I wanted to and was, you know, younger, back in my 30s, like when I started at OU, then yeah, I would. But you know, the bottom line, I don't have to, and I'm happy with, you know, way my life the way it is and what I'm doing. When I stepped away, I said I wanted my own space and my own time, and that's what I got. And everyone wondered if that was really true, and found out, however many years later it is now, that that's all it was. So, but we can all adapt if you need to, if you have to. But if you don't want to, it sure is nice not to have to.
Coach, last one. Speaking of adapting, we saw that the NFL just adopted the kickoff rule from the UFL, going to give it a shot this coming year. What was your experience with it? What do you think fans can expect from it?
I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was really positive, reducing injuries, the amount of space you're covering, the impacts, and it's still a football play. The thing I thought was really neat about it, having experienced it for the full year, you watch NFL and college games, how many kickoffs are really returned? Not many, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, in college, they're fair caught, they go into the end zone, it's just a waste of time. Well, our rules, you couldn't kick it in the end zone. And couldn't, you know, it had to be returned. And it's a play. How many, you know, you ever see the offensive line, everybody reaches right? A big zone play, correct? Mm-hmm. Or reaches left. Everybody runs, blocks whoever's in your zone, and it's a play. It's an offensive play. Well, this is no different. So this at least is a play. There's action. It isn't a waste of time and go to another commercial. You know, punt, kick the ball off. It goes 8 yards deep into the end zone. Let it go out, and everybody runs off the field and go to a commercial. You know, it's there's too much wasted time, in my opinion, with kickoffs in college and in the NFL.
Coach, great stuff. Best of luck this week and this season. Hoping to pick up another title for Arlington, and we appreciate your time.
Thank you, Coach.
I sure appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. That is Arlington, who opens up their season on Saturday. Bob Stoops, their head coach, as the UFL kicks off this weekend. You got D.C. and San Antonio, 12 p.m. Eastern on Sunday as part of the ESPN doubleheader, and then the Memphis Showboats and the Houston Roughnecks at 3 p.m. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Speaking of the NFL, they are making something crystal clear to every other big for sport. They don't care what you think. That's next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
It's just clear the NFL just does not care what anybody else thinks or what anybody else does. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. From superchargers, exhaust kits, and more, eBay Motors has over 122 million parts to keep your ride or die alive. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home that win. Keep your ride or die alive, ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. I apologize if I've been a little distracted today.
What do you got?
Did you see that McDonald's is going to start selling Krispy Kreme donuts by 2026?
I did see that. That's coming in 2026. We had to announce that a year and a half out.
Listen, you could have announced it 3 years out. I would have been okay with it. That's a big announcement.
So take me through it. Rather than just go to Krispy Kreme and get the donuts, you're excited that you can now go to McDonald's to get the Krispy Kreme donuts?
Well, not unlike you. I like to economize my time. That certainly would cut down on my time usage. And then, normally I do not like throwing together a couple of things, making them try to be doubly awesome together. That would work.
Well, then we're not actually combining the products. You're just going to have what are you going to be combining it with?
Well, perhaps the Krispy Kreme donuts as a bun.
As a bun for the Big Mac.
For the Big Mac, yeah. Whopper. Bite your tongue. For the Big Mac or for the quarter pounder with cheese.
Apologies if I'm not as well versed in the intricacies and delicacies of fast food.
Well, I've had a long running issue with Burger King that has not been settled.
What's the issue there?
Well, it dates back to 1990.
What's the issue?
The issue is there was a problem when they had a special running of two burgers, two fries for $2 at the Burger King in Madison, New Jersey, and they ran out of burgers late at night. And I believe I screamed into the drive-through box, "You call yourselves the king of burgers. You're an embarrassment." And I was asked to never return to that particular Burger King.
Does that Burger King still exist?
Oh, it exists.
Okay. So they've probably forgotten.
Probably, but I haven't. And when
possibly
you
a little
shun
roster
me,
turnover.
When you ban me, no. It's on you to fix it.
So have you not been to Burger King since then?
I can't say that. I haven't been to that particular Burger King, and I wouldn't say that I go often. It's not the first choice, not until they apologize.
What did you do after that happened that night? Because you were probably quite hungry.
Yes.
Which is what led to the behavior, which is understandable for anybody.
Correct.
But after that, you still had an appetite with which you wanted to, you know, satisfy.
Well,
so what did you do?
Here was a problem. Burger King was the last available option that late at night. It was about 1 a.m. and they were closing up shop and everybody else was shut down. So the big fella had to go without.
You just didn't eat?
Didn't eat.
Oh, wow.
Didn't eat.
I thought we were going to have a, you know, that movie Alive?
Yeah.
I thought we were going to have one of those situations here.
Just like I was going to have to cut off an arm?
Yeah, like eat somebody. You got to survive, right?
Got to do what you got to do. Would you or would you not attempt to make buns out of a...
No, it's too much. It's too much. We in this country, we're innovators. We're pioneers.
Yep.
We've pushed the envelope on a lot of things. Space exploration, for example. There's so much that we can hang our hat on and be proud of that we have been at the forefront of. The idea of taking a donut and using it as the bun for a fast food hamburger, I don't know if we need to be at the forefront of that. We don't need to plant our flag in the ground and say this is what America's all about. I think every now and again it's okay if we want to draw a line somewhere and say, you know what, this might be a step too far.
You need to get your kids this summer to the Hartford Yard Goats because they have a donut inside a chicken sandwich, exactly how you described it. Not a burger, but it's a chicken sandwich, and the two buns are donuts, just like, not Krispy Kreme, but very similar in terms of texture and the glazed donuts. So I'm just saying, like, that exists in the world in a chicken sandwich. I'm sure in a burger form, it wouldn't be that hard.
I've already laid out why I'm not interested in that. What would make you think that right after I conclude that thought, you should come on and tell me I should not only get behind it, but my children should get behind it?
Because I think you should try new things. I think instead of just being closed-minded to it, I think you need to open up your world to new things.
I can imagine how it tastes, and that imagination is good enough. That's too much. We got to draw a line somewhere. Have you looked around? Anyone here feel confident about their weight? There's three of you back there. You probably all could stand to lose a couple pounds, myself included. I'm going to put myself at the forefront. Carlin, I'm not going to drag you into this.
I think we know where we stand on that one. I'm good. I like me.
Ultimately, we don't need to be adding donuts to the cheeseburger equation. Let them stand individually. Have your cheeseburger, then enjoy your donut.
Normally, I am with you on the idea of letting it stand individually, but this, for whatever reason, has hit a particular spot in my psyche that has me intrigued.
So when this happens, do you think there is going to be a crossover collaboration here?
There has to be.
All right.
There has to be. I'm sorry. It's like Taylor Swift in the NFL. There's got to be some sort of crossover collaboration at some point.
And if there's not, I take it you'll be in the drive-thru getting yourself banned from a second fast food institution.
I mean... It's not out of the realm.
Yeah. It's an even money play right there.
You catch me at the wrong moment and I haven't exactly gotten what I've needed for the day. Yeah, things could get ugly. I'm not going to lie.
Evan, have you had this chicken donut sandwich?
I have.
And your thoughts?
At the Hartford Yard Goats. It's delicious.
It's delicious.
It is. It is really good. Like it, you think it's going to be too much and then you take one bite of it and you're like, my wife and I were going to split one. I took one bite of it. I immediately ran up to the concession stand and just got my own. I was like,
wow.
There is no way I can split this with somebody. It's that
good.
Wow.
I love that.
Just all reason, all discipline, all restraint out the window with one bite of this thing.
Your whole idea of, you know, get up early, win the day in the first couple hours, you know, get out of it every once in a while. Maybe get out of your disciplined bubble and live. How about that?
I break plenty of rules. It's not like I'm living this very disciplined lifestyle. My diet is not great. I am not in great shape. Do not paint me as some sort of Mr. Olympia.
I saw you taking a Lisi treat yesterday. Don't try to hide.
I'm not trying to. I'm at the forefront. She had brownies out there. I had a couple brownies. I didn't take the brownie, smash it into a donut, smash another brownie on top, go to the calf, wrap it in a pizza, pour some hot sauce on it, eat it, and then tell everyone how you all need to try it because this is the next big thing. Draw a line somewhere.
Well,
I'm not telling you to eat vegetables. I'm saying have your cheeseburger, have your donut. Just don't mash it together.
Carlin, sounds like we're going to a Yard Goats game this summer.
I'm there. I'm in. Don't have to convince me. By the way.
No one was wondering.
By the way, NFL, remember how we may not play on Christmas. Christmas falls on a Wednesday. Yeah, they're playing a doubleheader this year.
Yeah.
That is a big blank you to the NBA.
You no longer own Christmas. Yeah, like Wednesday is like the least likely of all spots for a football game. So if you're doing that, you're playing on Christmas every year, I take it.
Why not just throw a triple header at it? And at the same time, you know, sell some burgers with some donuts.
Thanks for listening to the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Carlin versus Joe weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Carlin versus Joe podcast.